All right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Sheep Farm podcast hosted on our bullshit platform through our Big Shill mics. This is episode 231. The format is simple. We try and release a minimum 4 shows a month. Members get full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one plus download. All new shows are released on Saturdays, always on our private bullshit platform at sheepfarm.co.uk. We also put part one on Podomatic that distribute them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible and Apple. You know the score. Please subscribe to the website for email notifications and everything else that we do, really. It gets sent out on an email. But if you don't want to subscribe, that's fine as well. All our shows are released on Saturdays, unless we do a live show that's midweek. Join us on Instagram, where Chris is formulating a crew of merry men and women.
Yep. How many we got?
You sound really enthused about that, Chris.
I don't feel very enthused about Oak today for some reason.
Why is that, Chris?
Because I went out last night.
Right.
I feel a bit ropey today. Right. When the lads were leaving work, so I went out on the rare occasion that I ever go anywhere.
Right.
But yeah. All right, though. Yeah,
obviously, you get a lot of sympathy from me.
Being a drama queen.
Yeah. Drama queen. thanks for buying supplements at Elf Bunker. Remember, use the promo code. It's in the description. Chris's Gaping Gobs, if you want to look on Etsy for those as well, that shortcut's in the description. That link is in the description. And the merch, our Big Shill merch store as well, Chris.
Yeah. I'm supporting one today, actually, that yellow one.
Right, I need to order some new ones and get some updates.
New vest.
Yeah, new vest. Why do you have to say it like that?
I don't know.
The July 5th live show's just a month away now. Can't believe it's coming around quick, that one. Up at Pennine Manor again with Mark Devlin and John Hamer. Should be a good, another good day.
What's John Hamer doing for?
I don't know. Well, he'll do something. He's got a few of his presentations, hasn't he, that he's going to do. We'll do something. Also, the London 27th of September at the Backyard Comedy Club, Chris? Have we got that right?
Yeah.
That's looking promising. People have emailed in. It's looking like it might be a go. We've just got to wait for some details back from the club about how we can do his presentations and stuff like that, which I think Chris is resolving. we'll be sending notification out via the subscription email and to the people, initially to the people that have emailed in first, to be honest with you. They'll be getting the email first because obviously they've shown interest. But anyway, there you go. So that's 27th. But it's only for 3 hours. We've only got 3 hours there, haven't we, Chris?
That's all right. It's just a different kind of thing.
There's a bar afterwards, I think, isn't there, upstairs?
Yeah, bar. Club. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah.
It's just different. Right. It's just a different to what I've done before, isn't it?
Right, well, tonight we've got, I'm going to keep this one short because we always rabbit on. Chris is in a good mood, so he's not a talkative mood.
I'm in a talkative mood.
He did all this talkative stuff last night when he was hammered.
All right. I'm all right.
Anyway, tonight we've got a returning guest, as you'd see in the title of this podcast. We've got Alana Freeland on talking about her new book. So we're going to leave you there, and we'll join you if you're joining us in part two. If not, we'll see you in part one. But all right, here we are. We're back again. This is episode 231, I do believe. And we've got a returning guest, Alana Freeland. I think this is the third or fourth time that she's been with me and Chris now. She's got a new book out. And if you don't know Alana's work, I think if I'm right, it started a long time ago, didn't it, Alana, the first book? When was the first book you released?
2014. Yeah. That was Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. And then the second
not much of a subject then. Not a small subject then.
No, the entire planet, exactly. Yeah, and then the second book came out 4 years later in 2018. That was Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. And that, I'm still unpacking that for people now, because the space fence is a Lockheed Martin term, but it's everywhere now, and we're plugged in. And that, and a term you probably know it by is the smart grid or something like that, because we're entirely a wireless world now, And to do that, you need to keep the sky ionized, and that has to do with controlling the ionosphere, which was accomplished by 2013. And so, it's like those Russian nesting dolls. It's like one thing is inside another, and as you unpack those, as I unpack these in the books, then you begin to see that this is a very, very complex and well, it's a weapon system. It's an absolute weapon system, and they keep telling us. When you run across the word geoengineering, which you hardly ever do, they'll tell us that this is to save us from global warming, to save us from climate change. And really, it's causing those things. And this is yet more. I don't know if you've been following the last 5 years of the politics of the clown show that we've had in Washington, D.C., of bloody Satanists. And set one of the primary tenets of Satanists is that you invert everything. You take the truth and then you find a way to invert it so that everybody is thinking that the opposite is true. And that's kind of how it goes now, is that's why we need to become smarter and learn to think again. Turn the boob tube off, turn in the and not own a cell phone either. I don't own either. I've never owned a television. I've never owned a cell phone. These are really MK Ultra devices that you may think you're watching. You may think you're watching a TV show. Well, of course, it's called programming. Excuse me. I mean, don't people get what that's saying? They're telling you what they're doing. But behind that scenario of the funny sitcom you're watching or whatever, there's a whole other thing going on that's going straight into your retinas and straight into your optic nerve and straight to your brain. I mean, the technology is very clever, extremely clever for a mind-controlled civilization. And so, that's what I deal with. I'm out here yak, 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 writing books, and in an era where hardly anyone reads, right, Dom? I mean, I constantly say, you've got to read, and then people haltingly will tell me, well, Ilana, I've got all your books, and I'm trying to read them, but they're really
But
complicated.
the attention span has been taken away from everybody. People
That's
will send me videos that last about 30 seconds and say, "Look at this, what's happening?" And I say, "I can't watch nonsense like that because 30 seconds doesn't tell you anything."
30 seconds.
What does 30 seconds tell you of something that proves that this happened and that happened? No, it doesn't.
I know, and that's what I face all the time because I'm blamed for complexity, but the truth is, the science guys, I have about a dozen science guys who follow what I do, and they've all left the fold, by the way. They've left the university system, they've left the scientific systems because they've realized that there's a lot of lies there. And so they're out on their own doing real science, real observation, real thinking on their own. And when they read my books, they say, this is pretty good. Or they might write me and say, Ilana, this is not quite the way it is. Here it is. And then I attempt to correct it the next time around that the book is printed or published. So I really feel that I get blamed
I mean, I'm not saying
unlawfully.
your work is just shaking the tree, but it is shaking the tree quite a lot, isn't it? The
It
stuff
is.
you're writing. And I know there's more depth to the work than just going in and
It
shaking the
is.
tree, but
Yeah.
just for that alone, them scientists writing you and letting you know that they're wanting their work now to be in your work, if you like, you know?
That's right. That's right. No, it's a good relationship, and I'm very grateful that I have just that many. It's complimentary a little bit, and then it's also I can enlighten them as to certain things, connections I'm seeing, and they can enlighten me as to having gone a little astray because they have much more. The PhDs have much more of a handle on at least the truth as well as the lies that are in the university system, because they get both. So that works great. The third book was in 2021, and that's called Geoengineered Transhumanism. At that point, I shifted from explaining exactly how the geoengineering system, which is in the upper atmosphere all the way down to much of the infrastructure on the Earth. So I finished that, and I was going back to, in a way you could look at it, I was going back to Morgellons. Do you remember what Morgellons when it was happening? I don't know how old you are, so I have to.
I'm 55, so
right.
I'm 21.
And meet my son Chris.
So when the scientist, independent scientist Clifford Carnicom and I were studying all this, and he was bringing me up to speed is what was going on when I met him back in the early 2000s. And I had already been studying the climate thing and trying to figure out what was true, what wasn't true. I mean, you know, you really have to verse yourself in what I call the 70-30, 60-40 rule. And what that is it's 70% truth and 30% spin or lies or both. And that formula still holds today. That's why you can hear someone talking and you go, yeah, that sounds true, that sounds true. And then suddenly there's this shift. And now it's all different.
Yeah.
And that's what geoengineering suffers in the press all the time. Now, there's a lot going on over here. I know that in Britain, they are attempting to what do they call it?
Dim the sun.
Dim the sun.
Yeah. Sounds like a Chinese dish.
It does. It's dim sum, right?
Yeah, dim sum. Yeah, yeah.
So we went through that several years ago. So in a way, UK and US sort of follow each other's scripts. They're MI6 and CIA scripts. They interchange those, and just making sure that the same thing is not happening across the drink in the other country, so that people then begin to get a little suspicious. So it's very well set up. The dimming of the sun, I tend to think that happened because over here they've got a bit of a problem they're going to have to create a new script for. Right. And the new problem is that about 30 states of the United States are now pursuing protection from their legislatures from the chemtrails. They want the chemtrails gone over their airspace. Their health is suffering. They're up to speed now about something that has been going on for all these years that I have never seen this amount of press on what's geoengineering is actually producing in my entire lifetime as a writer on this topic. It's fabulous. On the other hand, they are, of course, creating ways. I think the latest thing that came out, and the best site to follow these people is zerogeoengineering.com. And she wrote that AI, let's see, what is it? It's a bill to increase investment in artificial intelligence for federal global weather operations while trying to prevent states from having the power to regulate AI. Well, now, isn't that clever? So they say, okay, you want to control the chemtrails over your state, but we haven't made it so that you understand that what geoengineering really is up to. We can't do without those chemicals and those nanoparticles and those synthetic biology entities. and all the stuff we're throwing at you. We can't do without that. But, you know, if we can convince you that all you need to do is concentrate on weather modification and cloud seeding, you know, run a few, we'll give you some money for that. We'll let the taxpayers pay for this and that. And then, and by the way, we will then control your use of the AI running those programs. You will not have access. Well, excuse me. So that happened exactly as the UK announced that they were going to dim the sun.
Just a coincidence. So,
well, I think it was a distraction, wasn't it?
Probably,
distracting people from the sort of conundrum that the powers over here are
now. John, it seemed a changing of the technology. What you've just described there is like when I was in technology businesses, they always used to say that the companies like, say, BT or Vodafone was like 15 or 20 years in advance with the technology. And 2020 probably brought about a shift in the technology. So the states are arguing about old technology now, aren't they, basically?
Well, they're bringing things back around because the geoengineering now cannot be kept at the secret level it was being kept. And part of the secret level for me as a writer is that they have definitely kept me marginalized, if not locked out in the cold. Because some other people are invited on radio shows, TV shows, whatever, interviews, who, in my opinion, from years of watching them, are what the CIA calls limited hangouts. Now, a limited hangout is not lying exactly. What they're doing is keeping the public attention in a certain area. And then you don't get to go out to these other areas where other people are talking about those things, which are normally much more dangerous than that one.
I call them fringe magnets because they draw people to them and take them off in to a cul-de-sac, if you like.
That's right. That's exactly what they do. And with me, I'm the only writer I know of in the West who is connecting the dots in this not all that, you know, it's been 25 years that we've had this particular geoengineering program with the chemtrails and the ionizing of the sky and the control of the ionosphere, which is this huge balloon of sort of like an atmosphere, but almost like what Rudolf Steiner would call a spiritual body, like a protective body that is around the planet completely. And then above it, further up into space, is the magnetosphere. And we you know, now and then hear these terms, but very rarely. And the magnetosphere is much larger. And, well, is something controlling that? Yeah, CERN. CERN is controlling the magnetosphere now. So we have this planetary secret space program. That's what Catherine Austin Fitz, the investment analyst, calls it. And I think that's right. It's a secret space program. We probably had it since Kennedy. When Kennedy, John Kennedy, before he was killed, was trying to put together a deal with Khrushchev, the head of the USSR at that time, when Russia was communist. They were trying to put together a program whereby both nations would be financing and involved in planning the space program, as we called it then. And that was really the beginning of the secrecy. After Kennedy was gotten rid of, then the whole Khrushchev thing went away, and that's when the secret space program became quite powerful, even without Trump adding, right? Years later, Trump has now added yet another military branch to our military.
What did he call that, Chris? What
was Space Force.
Space Force.
Space Force.
Space Force. Yeah. And hardly anyone knows anything about the Space Force, but the truth is that it's running Well, the secret space program, for one thing, and that's very powerful. Now, you might think I'm just reaching into my bag of magic and bringing up things that really have no substance today. But the truth is, think about Mr. Trump. Donald Trump, his uncle was John Trump. John Trump lived back in the time of Tesla in the 40s. He was a, I would say, an electrical engineer working for the government, and I'm sure he was working for the secret space program. But when Tesla was gotten rid of by the American FBI, they took all his research and all his papers and all the things that they could lay their little fingers on, and they passed it to John Trump to oversee. While they my picture is they had to have a powwow about how they were going to use the Tesla tech. They had already worked with Tesla for 40 years and followed everything he did, but Tesla was very attempted to be cunning and keep some of it from them because he realized early on that they were going to weaponize anything they could get their hands on that he had developed. So John Trump was the man who oversaw the Tesla tech and basically was involved in doling it out to various what I call sub rosa, unseen agencies, scientists in those agencies, other secret society scientists who were familiar with Tesla, and they began to develop Tesla te science, and that's what we have now. We don't have Einstein science anymore or Newtonian physics. No, we have Tesla physics. And the HAARP, which I often talk about, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project up in Gakona, Alaska, it's a big ionospheric heater with acreage, several acres of what are called phased array antennas. And we don't think much about these things because we're all too busy doing having fast movie downloads and yeah, our way through the 21st century. I don't know what those people are living a really different life than I'm living, because I am quite aware and have been alerted in multiple ways that this is a very, very dangerous era and is particularly dangerous now that there seems to be a merging going on between what's going on in the secret space program, which seems so far away, and what does it have to do with us? I mean, it basically controls everything above us, which it doesn't sound very safe to
And
me.
who better to have in the White House at the same time as Trump than
Oh, well, say it again.
who better to have in the White House at the same time as Trump, but Elon Musk, who's sending
Well,
things into the
you're going
atmosphere at the
right
moment?
where I was
Oh,
dragging
sorry.
all this.
Apologies.
I'm bringing in this and that, and I may forget my way. So you're absolutely right, because we've got what I call Boy Wonder, who wants to go to Mars, right?
Yeah,
Boy,
right. Yeah.
and he's so cute, and he's so speaks so softly, and he's a billionaire. But don't hold that against him. Well, he's doing a lot for Mr. Trump. And there we are. We've got the two of them. And now we of course have Robert Kennedy as well. We need to put him in this
Yes, we
because
do.
he's the representative to me of the Kennedy era when the secret space program was born. I mean, these guys really think through these psyops that they present to the public. They spend a lot of time on them and a lot of intelligence on them. Have to give them credit. So yes, we have all three of them, and the public loves the Kennedys. And so it sort of does a little bit of forgiving of the other two. But I really feel that when I saw President Trump, and this I put this in the category of the geoengineering now going much more public, because when he became president, I think it was on January 22nd, I want to say, it was very, very soon after he became president, like days, he announced to the public that he had that he was implementing a program called Stargate AI. And he didn't really explain it very well, that it cost, I can't remember, $55 billion or something. I mean, and then he was standing there. Do you know much about Freemasonry, Dom?
A little bit. I'm not
Okay. So the way they staged it, the announcement to the public was they had Trump standing at a podium, a lot of important flags behind him, and some sort of portrait that was American history, whatever. And beside him, standing sort of at attention, all in a line, were three Silicon Valley billionaires. Each one of them runs an extraordinary program of software for surveillance, for control of banks, for everything. And they're all standing looking like good boys. And he announces that this Stargate AI is being implemented and life is going to be good after this. That's about all he says about it. And the problem is that I recognized right away that they staged it in a Freemason way. Trump's standing there like Hiram Abiff, who's the really head honcho of Freemasonry, even though he's dead a long time ago, and then his three apprentices beside him. And if you go back and read that story of Hiram Abiff and the three apprentices, you really have to think about that, because I doubt that Mr. Trump was the one who decided to play it that way. Somebody else designed the presentation of that announcement, because Stargate AI, that term is very familiar to me from 1977, way before most people who are alive today will remember. But I remember, because I'm going to be 78 this month.
Get away.
I can't believe it. I mean, where has time gone? So, Stargate at 1977 was the program run by the, I think it was under the US auspices of the US Army. And it was about remote viewing. It was about mind control. It was about computerizing human beings. So I thought it was quite amazing that they pulled that out of the past and are now reinstating it with a whole new narrative. But the narrative seems to me to not be that far from My Space Fence in the second book. This is what we're plugged into. And I don't know if I told you the last time I was on your show, but a woman sent me, I've been looking for her, and I, I'm still looking for her, because she sent me a photograph that I could not download from her camera, of the sky over wherever she lived, and she didn't tell me that either. She didn't respond to my queries after that one picture that just came through, but the picture was of the sky over her, and at the angle she took the picture, our sky looks like a circuit board. Looks
Wow.
just like a circuit board, in fact. And I've since then worked on that image to see if I can find anything that fits with it from the science around the geoengineering. And what does fit are the plasma mirrors that now are placed everywhere in our sky, but we can't see them. Plasma is a really interesting substance. I'm not talking about the plasma in your blood. I'm talking about plasma as a creation of matter on a very fine scale, and electromagnetics, maybe laser, to create something that you can't see, because our visual range in the electromagnetic spectrum, as you recall, that long spectrum that we all studied in secondary school, where you see, oh yeah, out here are the gamma rays. All the way out there, there's the X-ray next to it. There's this, there's that, there's near infrared. And then, we're into another, then we come to our visual range, which is so tiny. That's what our five senses, our smelling and tasting and touching and everything. Our range is so tiny. And then we have no access with our senses, those senses, to the rest of the spectrum. Then out on the other end are the radio waves and the microwaves. And of course, we all are now somewhat versed in those terms, radio waves, microwaves. A lot of people still have microwave ovens, which is a really bad idea. I don't know why you have one of those, because they have a weapon inside them. That
illegal in Russia, I think, Alana.
Huh?
I heard somewhere that they're illegal in Russia.
Russia's,
they don't have
Russia's
microwaves.
Way more advanced than we are in that way, and also, they, you know, it's a felony there if you even enter Russia with any GMO foods or seed. You'll go to prison.
Doing something right.
I mean, that's wise, because Russia or Putin or whoever is making a human population that will have their humanity intact, whereas we in the West will not. We simply will not. We
oh,
cannot.
Have not. We have not. It's probably gone past that, isn't it? Not will not. Have not.
Oh yeah. Oh no. We're all involved in the transhumanization we're undergoing. But then, as I wait, I haven't gotten to that yet. Okay, so that's the third book goes into all of that stuff, and then the fourth book that just came out, and you put that. I love the cover on it, by the way. Hold it up again. Oh yeah, nobody can see it.
Nobody can see it, but Chris can see it.
Yeah, it's a very nice cover.
I'll put it on the thumbnail.
Yeah, it's going to be on the thumbnail, so the bit when people are listening to it, they better see it. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be good. The geoengineered transhuman. I know it's a lot like the previous book, and people are getting confused, but that was the publisher's right to choose that title, and it is what the book is about. So in there, I go a little more deeply into how they're transhumanizing, for example, all of us who didn't get the jab. Yes, part of it is we're picking it up from those who have been jabbed. That is true, but not in the way that a lot of people think of it. A lot of people think of it as like a virus. It's not a virus. It's the electromagnetic field that the jabbed people are now in, because they're all on an electromagnetic leash of the Bluetooth type. And their specs, their bio specs, are being read 24/7, as the bad guys in big pharma and in medicine, et cetera, and
big
all,
tech and
all,
everything, yeah, the big data,
everything,
there, yeah,
concentrating
but,
on
but
preparing
just
a
to
little more
reiterate,
for
Alana.
another round of the jabs. Yes,
yeah, just to reiterate that. This makes anybody who has looked into any sort of research on how the, I won't call them elites, the controllers want to control people, this makes perfect sense, because why wouldn't you want to put a chip in a human being and control them better and download
Right.
their energy, thoughts, whatever it is you want off them?
Right. And I want you to think a little further than a chip, a mere
yeah.
chip.
I said that because
now,
it's easier to understand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I think you're right. I think that the jabs, I don't know if all three, including, you know, most people have at least three, some have eight, some just seem to be addicted to them. They have, yes, they, at least one of them has a chip, because what's really being put into the body, the human body around the world, is an operating system. It's actually a computer system by which, and this is what I meant earlier when I said that I don't think that the mRNA, although that we were
chatting before we press record,
I don't think the mRNA and spike protein are the primary agents of this formation of a transhuman race. I think that it's primarily being done electromagnetically through a computer program that is through the jab, because think about it. Yeah, they could do a lot getting ready for the transhuman race through spoiling the environment and turning many things that now we are breathing in and eating and drinking in our water supply, many things that are actually synthetic. They are not made of organic material. They have been synthesized chemically and electromagnetically, and are those things are difficult. It would be difficult to put like a biochip, like you were saying, in the chemtrails all over the earth, and deliver them with exactitude to the population that is the target population. That'd be tough. So instead, they now ha had this pandemic. They announced, "Oh, it's a pandemic," and oh, blah 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 blah. And now they can line everybody up out of fear and give them the jab. And each serum, maybe batches of serums, would be slightly different. Would be the yes, there would be the ones coming from, I mean, I think they're competing too. So you have the different corporations, big pharma corporations, that they have a certain jab they've come up with. And then there's another one over here for a certain jab. And then you keep, what I call Nazi records, because during the concentration camps of World War II, the Nazis and IBM were known for these incredibly immaculately made records of what prisoner was sent to this camp and what happened there and all that. So they made a lot of Nazi records about these people, and then they put them on through the devices going into them during the jab. They made it so that they could be picked up by satellite. On the Bluetooth leash, the electromagnetic leash. I'm the one who calls it a leash, because of course they think we're animals, and of course they're putting us on a leash, and then they can get all the biometric data that they want from us anytime they want, and for those who are not vaccinated, that's not a term to use, not inoculated. Then, they have different systems and different ways of reading our biometrics, because we've got nanosensors by the billion every square inch. It's all been delivered from space. And then we have the biosensors that are the nanosensors that are in our bodies from the foods that we eat, particularly refined foods, from the animals that we eat. Who are on feedlots and are injected all the time with one thing or another. We have no idea what they're being injected with. And yet we're eating those animals. And so everything's been set up intentionally. And that in the book I'm writing now, I'm sort of taking the gloves off and really talking about the fact that this is all intentional. This
This
is
is
not.
this book. This is a new book, isn't
It's the new book I'm writing now, which is called The
it?
Ringing Human,
Yeah.
and that is exactly what I'm after. Is we're going to have to make considerable lifestyle changes and deepen our relationship with our spiritual side in some way. I'm not particularly. I pretty much just follow. I follow Rudolf Steiner ideas because. He's my trail guide, and I'm in terra incognita. I mean, do I know where I am? Do I know what it's like from a life lived under the National Security Act that is anything but secure for the people that are subject to it? Do I know anything about living in a country that is completely run by intelligence agencies like the CIA? This is the way it is. This is not some conspiracy theory. They do conspire, these people, and we are the farm animals on their farm, and they use us for any experiment they want to, and they eliminate us whenever they decide to. So that's, I've finally come to the place, and being older like I am, I can now say outrageous things like that, and nobody's going to punch me out,
It doesn't sound that outrageous at all, Alana, to be fair.
It doesn't sound outrageous. The thing is, what sounds outrageous is actually thinking that these people pass patents for this type of technology and they're never going to use it. That's what's outrageous,
That's ridiculous.
because one, they've got to test it somewhere, and they've got, all right, they can do it in a lab, but they've actually got to test it in the real world as well,
Oh,
on
yeah.
people, which means on us, right?
Well, and if you think of the HAARP system, and it is a HAARP, it is a system. There are, it's not the that one ionospheric heater in Alaska, at the which is very, very close to the Arctic Circle, I might add, folks. That means the geomagnetic current going up through Antarctica and up through the North Pole and then down around the Earth and then back through the South Pole up to, that's how this works. So to have such an instrument of power, tremendous power through those phased array antennas that now can all converge to make a beam, beams of energy, electromagnetic energy, and hit the ionosphere and open up a bit of the ionosphere on this side and suck out the ions in the ionosphere and bring those ions down, for one thing, to our atmosphere
Has
where
any of your research, have you got an angle on what their ultimate objective is? Because it's all right. I've often thought that how much data do they need to read off a human before they've got enough, for instance? What's the end goal? They can only read so much off me. I mean, I'm boring as sin. What actual data? Is it not the data that we think it is, i.e. I go to the shop and I buy this and that? Is it some kind of energetic data they're taking off us? Or,
No, I actually think that yes, there is a lot of, if this is what you're talking about, Dom, there's a lot of study of the human being because they are making a post-human. That's what they call it, a post-human. And the post-human will be very different from us. What, it all to me goes back to their endless, endless hatred and argument with God, with the divine. They just hate the fact that there is this whole creation that they will never be able to use. Satanists can't do this kind of thing here that we got going, but they can take it over step by step by step and invert it into something of the dark nature, of the evil nature, of things that we in America and in the West in general have been now conditioned and programmed to not believe in spirit anyway. I mean, if Rudolf Steiner said that they would create a vaccine that would make the spirit ridiculous and that nobody would think of the soul again, well, in a way, we're a lot of us are already there. I have to deal with people all the time. Now, I am Romanian by birth. My mother was Romanian. So I'm Slavic on one side of me. And then the other side is Scottish. And that's a very different kind of people from Scotland compared to Romania. And so I've been mystical since I was a child. My grandmother, who raised me, was a gypsy, a Romanian gypsy, Roma, and she was clairvoyant. So she always saw beings, and she would talk to them in the house. And I never thought my grandma was nuts. I realized that she was one of those special people who has that ability to see the dead and see, see beings, see things that we don't see with our narrow spectrum.
It's
That
often like, right, I see the cat looking out the window and I'm thinking, what on
yeah.
earth is it looking out there?
That's right.
You know, there's nothing, just fields. And I'm thinking, it's staring intently at an area or looking around.
Right.
Did he tell a story about your grandma, Elena? I'm sure it was you. Now you should mention that. That she said something about America when she first went to America.
Oh, yes. That
It wasn't on here, but I heard you say it somewhere else, one of you.
Well, it was that my grandma and I would take two buses to get to the little plot of earth that she was renting to grow our vegetables. And while we were on the bus, we finally got off and she started weeping. Now, that was not the time that she pulled me off of another bus because I said, why? It's not our stop. And she said that because there was a man on the bus with the evil eye and she was protecting me. So it was part of probably a pedophile. But anyway, this time she started crying and I said, Grandma, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she said, I just realized that Dracula has come to America. Now that's Dracula. And we kind of ha 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 our way through that. But he was an actual tyrant and had his own way of controlling people. And I don't know that he was a vampire and that he lived for centuries. I don't know about that. But I knew what she meant, that evil had come. And how ironic, huh? Because the evil that came to America was through the Dulles brothers, Allen Dulles and John Foster Dulles. John Foster Dulles was Secretary of State. Allen Dulles was the first director of the CIA. And they're the ones who brought paperclip Nazis in and ensconced them in our universities and our military bases and our hospitals in order to give them the keys to the kingdom to make a powerful arrangement of MK Ultra for one. But anything else they had in mind, too, because the German doctors and scientists were known for being incredibly bright. And the evil part of what they were doing, was that what was on the minds of the Dulles brothers? I don't know, because so many Americans don't even believe in evil. They don't think it exists. They think it's just made up and it's when you don't have enough goodness or something like that. They don't realize that there's an intent in the evil that can come into a nation. So with my grandmother, yeah, that did happen. And
how did she link the Dulles brothers to Dracula?
What?
How did she link the Dulles brothers to
No, she didn't. I did.
All right, okay. Yeah,
I'm the one that linked
it. Right, so she saw the darkness coming.
Operation Paperclip.
Yeah.
Operation Paperclip really destroyed this country. And we're still dealing with the Nazis. Mm. That's what we did the last 4 years here in America, in the clown show, as I call it. It's Nazis. It's Satanists, whatever you want to call them. And in the sense of my grandmother, I think in a way, because I remember that day so well, visually, I have a very visual, because I haven't had television and was raised without television, and that I have a very good imagination. Anyway, I can see that day, and I think that was the day that the seed was planted in me to pursue all the things I've pursued most of my adult life, which is digging in the basement, I call it, finding out what happened to America. Finding, you know, the perpetrators, understanding how they think. I mean, I've been obsessed with this stuff. And then my father, it turns out, when I was 60 years old, I tried to get Navy brat auto insurance, thinking it would be cheaper. And I had to tell the woman when my father was discharged, and I had really very little idea. So she went off to check his records, came back in about 15 minutes, a long time, and she said, I've located your father's records. He was a scientist, as you know, for Navy intelligence, and his records are sealed unto perpetuity in Washington, D.C. Now, I didn't know that before. I knew my father was very smart and very screwed up, but I didn't know the Navy had gotten its claws into him. And I say that because the Navy in UK and US, Those are the sons of the elite, primarily, and they are very well versed in much of the occult. Many of them are, so In my father's case, I was unable to get Navy brat insurance, but I got something much more valuable, which was a piece of his history that he was absolutely silent about. And that's another reason that I've been digging in the basement, looking for the reality of what has happened to this nation, of the only nation in the world with the Bill of Rights. And I'm rightfully proud of that. Remember, I had tea with Kennedy in the Rose Garden.
Yeah, I remember
when I
that. Yeah.
Was 16. So I've had these different experiences in life. And I think everyone's like this, maybe not with the same theme that I am on, but everyone has these experiences in life that really inform them of the deeper nature that they are. And the problem is we get so caught up in the rest of the show here that we don't remember to really look at this certain situations that occur in life and go, oh, so that's what that's about. It's about the fact that I'm looking at the dark side all the time, not because I'm dark, but because I basically saved myself by the skin of my teeth from the dark side. And that certainly was my case, because my father was completely consumed by the dark side by the time he was my father. So, I was haunted by him. I was haunted by what my grandmother had said when I was little about Dracula. And I have been on this obsessive roll all these years. It's just the recent part of it is geoengineering. But I spent 10 years on MKUltra. I spent 10 years studying what the CIA was doing to so many people and trying to figure out where it was going next. That was on my mind all the time.
Your grandma's comment is interesting, Elena, because America is a very unique country, isn't it? In fact, I know that Columbus didn't discover it was already there, but it's almost like they set it up for some reason.
Yes.
Probably for this point in time or some point in the future. But what your grandma said when evil has arrived, she was probably right.
That
it didn't mean the people were evil, but they, you know, because the Vlad the Impaler, they're actually a bloodline. It wasn't just him. There was a lot of these Vlads.
Right.
And
That's
Prince
right.
Charles famously says he was related to him as well. And there must be a reason why the Dracula mythos has remained in popular culture for so long. It's like they've got to keep reminding us that Dracula, there's a guy who could drink, or this character or this group of characters can actually drain your life force from you.
Yeah.
Same with Frankenstein. Same with Frankenstein. They're always bringing up Frankenstein, but Frankenstein is a transhuman, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. You're doing that.
Why are they selling
great.
Us these stories over and over again?
It's that translation that we need to get going in our minds and not just buy the farm on whatever is being presented in a sort of pedestrian way that has nothing to do with our spiritual side. Mm. We've got to re-spiritualize a lot of things in our lives, because otherwise we're going to be eaten alive by this this culture that has permeated, certainly in America, has so totally permeated our culture. And I'd say in UK too. I lived 3 years in the UK, in London and in the Cotswolds. So I'm familiar with the British are just these lovely people, but they're run by elites who are trained in these terrible pedophile institutions that you call public schools. And if I were running Britain, the first thing I would do would be to ban those public schools. Absolutely.
Yeah. The problem is all the people that are in power have all been to public schools. So they're never going to...
Well, that's isn't it?
You wouldn't know this, but I'm writing a book as well, Alana, but anyway, that's another story. But I'm writing it about Boris Johnson, and we did four shows on Boris Johnson about his schooling and things like that, and Tony Blair as well. And they went to schools with known pedophiles there. They've never mentioned...
All the public schools.
But it's a training ground
for them.
But the irony is, if you were in position of so-called power, which we know they haven't got the power, if you became prime minister... And a public school, you'd gone through all that, or some of your friends had, and you'd witnessed it. The first thing you would do in power would close that school, or send whoever was the attorney general, right, look into these schools because we can't have this going on. But it's never brought up.
If you're good.
If you could, yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
Otherwise, you'll go with it. And as long as you're doing the studies of Boris Johnson and Tony Blair, I highly recommend you check out their secret societies and see what you can find.
Well, the irony
Because
is,
secret societies are really the real perpetrators are the secret societies.
I have. I don't want it to be about what I'm researching, but we just did a presentation. I'd done a lot of research on. We've been doing the Aldous Huxley or the Huxley family. I've done
Oh, yes, the
ten
Huxley
episodes on the
family.
Huxley family. We've done about 20 hours on it, haven't we, Chris? On his genealogy. I'm into genealogy because I like watching the bloodlines, how they all tie in. But we added. I didn't want to get into the Beatles. I never wanted to get into the Beatles. But because Aldous Huxley was on the Sgt. Pepper album, I thought, how about I look into all the people that were on the Sgt. Pepper album? Because Huxley was there. And I started looking at the periphery as well, at Jane Asher and Jane Asher's family. Richard Asher was worked in a mental institute and was possibly part of the British arm of MK Ultra. That's where I'm getting at. He was working
That's
with a
right.
guy called Dr.
Tavistock.
Sargent. Yes.
Tavistock.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was working with a guy called
No,
Dr. Sargent, who was friends with Ewan Cameron.
you're on the right trail, because unless we go
Don't
into the
tell my wife
basement, I call the
that.
basement, you go into the basement and start dragging all that stuff up and bring it to make it conscious. We can't free ourselves from these elite pedophiles. In secret societies, they know how to play us because they've taught us to be such materialists that we can't interpret things properly in order to understand their spiritual weight. And I am, that's why I'm so valuable, I feel, is the primary is not because, Ilana is so valuable, but because I have spent my entire life studying this stuff. Because and you haven't read my Sub Rosa America
I've got one
books.
of
I don't
them.
know.
I've got
No,
one
I
of them.
even well, you do? Okay. Yeah, because I go deeply into all that secret society stuff in Britain and here, because the British have, it's such a big influence on America. So, yes, that, okay. So, let me see where I was. Let me just c catch that. All right. So, we have so many levels that need consciousness. And that's what we're talking about here with your book is something strikes us in our lives. Our lives are, paying the mortgage, putting food on the table, going for holiday here and there. But it really is about how much we're interpreting and therefore releasing back into truth and what we know about what has been done to us as a race, as a people. And that, that to me, I value my individuality, and I don't join organizations. That's one thing I never do. I don't trust organizations, and I went to two therapists for a couple of sessions. Both of them tried to get in my pants and take advantage of what they knew about my problems. And I realized, yeah, that was the same thing as the hospitals and the doctors and that whole thing. So I cut them all off in my 20s. Haven't been to any of those types of people, but I do study them to find out how they ended up that way. Because I, when I look at a little baby, I don't see a to-be pedophile. Something's going to happen to that little baby that may send them this way or that. And I want to understand those forces that take over our lives. And that's kind of how I look at the geoengineering. If I were to be talking to someone who understood the real past, the one that's been denied and changed by the winners, I would have to say that this geoengineering is so vast and so powerful, it makes the atom bomb look like child's play. Yes, it looks like it is only affecting our sky and our sun and that sort of thing, but it is much more than that. And one of the much mores is going to be the complete domination of Homo sapiens and the creation of a transhuman. Now, this is a transhuman. Someday it will be a total cyborg. But these transhumans who are now being made I don't know how it is in UK, but here in the little town I live in Washington State, I meet people all the time who seem to be on automatic. And this is since the jab. So we've always had that possibility that not everyone is truly human, that a lot of people are sort of pretend human, or they cut out a bit of what being human is, like they're in sports, or they love rock and roll, or whatever. They cut out a piece, but they aren't really developing their humanity from inside because of their conditioning and programming that has gone on.
Probably via sports and rock and roll.
What?
Probably the reason they're not fulfilling their human destiny, if you like, is because they've been watching rock and roll and playing sports. Because that's
Well,
the mind control, isn't it?
yes, because they're hooked into the technology. And the one thing I know is that yes, I enjoy watching usually a British, I like British detective stories because there are less guns in them. And you have to you have to re they really think to some degree. But I don't depend on technology. I depend on being human. Now, I know a couple of people who are being taken over by AI systems. How do I know that? Because the AI system talks to them, and that's voice to skull. You may have heard of it, V2K. There are people who are now being many, many, I would say hundreds of thousands at the very least, who are being taken over by AI systems to experiment again on turning someone who was intended to be a human being into an AI-run transhuman through their mind. And this is, if we meet people like this, we need to begin to use our knowledge of how this really works, and prepare ourselves for it, because we are living on the precipice of another era, and it will not be an easy era by any means
Would you say that
if you
people,
want to remain human.
would you say people like us are like observers, we're docu and documenting these facts? Because do you think what we're going to do is better change these things happening? Are we going to be able to stop this?
I think the first step is to understand that it really is going on, and then to study how it is done to the best of your ability, given that you're not going to get access to the papers and the things that the bad guys have. And then from there, you can see what you can do. But the very least you can do is that when you meet a targeted individual, you're not going to call them crazy, because
Yeah, but
you know
we had last week. We had have you heard of Jerry Marzinski? Have you heard of his work?
better.
He's
Say
from
the name again.
Jerry Marzinski. He was a psychotherapist, and when he was
Oh,
in
yes.
institutions, yeah, very interesting guy.
And he's the one who works with people who've been diagnosed as
Schizophrenic. Yeah,
schizophrenic.
hearing
And he's
voices.
the
Yeah.
one, yes, I've listened to a couple of his interviews with one of his patients, I guess. And it is interesting, those voices that come through to the schizophrenic. Now, my father was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic,
Right.
and that's why my mother pulled me out of the, and we left that marriage of hers with my father when I was three, because she either had to commit him to a hospital, VA hospital, or and then stay married to him as long as he was there, or just bail. And she bailed. And I, unfortunately, that same condition of his, which I do not think was paranoid schizophrenic, and I was run wondering about what's his name,
Jerry
Jerry.
Mazinski, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if he understands how MKUltra works, because a lot of those people, I think, are probably not schizophrenic, but are actually hearing V2K systems tell them what to say and what to do and what to think.
It's funny you say that, Elena, because one of the guys you brought on our show, George, I think
George.
it was one of
Yeah,
them.
yeah, yeah.
He, I was saying it to Jerry last week. He actually said it. He thought it was some kind of technology, because it hit him at home, and when he left his home, he got
Weaker.
less, got weaker. That's what, he got weaker, and then
Well,
he came back as he got back to his home.
like
So
the
that was a
signal was getting
warning to him.
stronger, like it was,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. And so we need to, that's why we need to understand these technologies to some degree, so that we can make determinations like that, because most of us are just individuals and we're not going to be able to go up against these very structured institutions that are run by people who, some of whom are total occultists, total Satanists, the dark side occultists, because Rudolf Steiner is an occultist too, but he's not on the dark side, you see. He's on the light side. So you have to be able to make these discernments. That's the problem, is we not only can we not think anymore because of all the electromagnetics that we're being pelted with all the time, but we cannot really discern. And that's Paul in the New Testament calls that a spiritual gift, that discernment. And that's where you're looking at what something means, not just what the definition is or something like that. No, it has to do with what it signifies, and what it's in touch with that's affecting everybody around them. So in that way, that's kind of how I fell into the geoengineering. I just wanted to understand how they were able to control so much with electromagnetics and chemicals from the sky. That was my original
I
thing.
mean, we were talking before we started that this has been going on since World War II. I mean, it was over here, it was called Operation Cauldron. I think in the US it was the Large Area Particle Trials, I believe it was called. And they were going through
Yes.
the New York subway and the London Underground.
Aerosols, yeah,
Yeah, with
using
aerosol.
aerosol. Yeah.
Which is
And
not a right lot different, is it? It's not a big
well,
jump.
no, it is different. It's
Yeah.
much more developed now, but no, it's a weaponization. They've always, the military mind is always interested in weaponizing, always.
I thought they were interested in saving us.
Protection.
Yeah, right. Right. Our
Protection.
country,
Yeah.
us.
Yeah,
Right?
yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
So that the idea that we can confront them, that's a long way in the future, truthfully. I have never said that. People have said to me, but do you think you can save us from like the chemtrails? No, I can't. I can't save you from the chemtrails, but I can give you knowledge by which you can figure things out for yourself to see how you should conduct
That's a
yourself.
conditioning as well, though, isn't it? People want someone to save them,
They
and
want a pill. They want a pill.
yeah, they want a magic pill or a wand waving
Yeah.
over them.
I said to Don
And
before, Elena, even though we've all been labelled crazy nutcases our entire life, the one time when it actually came in useful was when they were dishing out the jib jabs, trying to get everyone to have something put into the bloodstream.
yeah.
All them years of being called a nutter paid off, I think, at that
Oh
moment.
no,
Yeah.
it's always that way for
Yeah.
those who see the truth.
And there'll be
It's
something else coming, surely, where you'll have a
isn't
decision
so.
to make,
Yeah.
whether you want to be
But
involved or not.
what's really going on now, through your food, your water, the air you're breathing, I mean, that's
That's
like
everything. That's everything. It covers everything.
everything,
Yeah.
is mind control. Because HAARP, one of the things that, if you remember nothing else of what I've said, HAARP is pulsing us at 4 hertz now. We don't have the Schumann resonance anymore. The Schumann resonance is a pulse of 7.83. They tamper with it all the time if it indeed falls within that, because 7.83 is the frequency of our brains. And so they are changing our brains. But again, my ray of hope is this, that this them pulsing us with 4 hertz If we can wake up to the power of electromagnetism and all these toys that we insist on owning, you know, and Alexa and all those things. I mean, I don't even know what they are. I try to live very primitively if I can, so that I'm not subject to what Rudolf Steiner says are the forces of death. He says electromagnetism is the forces of death. Now, we need some electromagnetism. And where when people tell you that the human being is an electromagnetic being, that is not true. Not the Homo sapiens. We are not run by electromagnetism. But if we give ourselves over to the technology, which is now all around us and in us and through us, and this precision medicine BS, that is totally about bringing the electromagnetic right into your brain and body, then I can't say that you aren't electromagnetic anymore, but you certainly are leaving your humanity behind.
And was that Larry Ellison that was with Trump saying we're going to put a patch on you?
Yes, yes,
yeah.
That was,
and Larry Ellison.
Larry was there that day of the three apprentices. He's one of the three apprentices.
And Larry Ellison's business, Oracle, was its first customers were the CIA.
That's right.
It was named after a CIA project. Was Oracle.
So why since Trump's entry into office have we not heard a word about the CIA? Well, gee whiz, they're running everything. They're running everything. You know, I mean, you know, it's phenomenal. But the Nazis, I feel that the Allied powers did not win the war.
Mm. I think there was an overriding power, wasn't there? There was an overriding power. And basically, anyway, but I mean, the Dulles brothers, they've got a royal bloodline going back, I think, to Edward III, I think.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they,
memory serves me right.
They gave their lives too. But anyway, the geoengineering is tremendously powerful because we are all under its, the 4 Hertz. And then it has this ability to totally control our weather, and all the weather is controlled now. There is no natural weather I know of.
This morning, Ellen, near me, and I just saw when I was dropping my child to school, it was just a thick blanket. We didn't used to see clouds like this. It was just a solid, thick blanket, with and I could just see the sun just peering through a little tiny bit.
I sent a line of that picture, Chris, that I took with the sound waves.
My first thought was that is there something behind those clouds that they're trying to hide? You know, like, and it made me think when you were talking about the circuit board, is there something that they were literally covering up with that solid mass? And if I look outside now, it's just dissipated. He's kind of gone now.
I mean, they're in Britain. I don't know what they're doing to you, but they're definitely taking away what Rudolf Steiner calls your consciousness soul. Mm-hmm. And without your consciousness soul, you're not going to be of much help to what's coming in the future.
Just simple conversations with people I've noticed. Where my clinic is at the back, we've got two parking spaces there. And a lady was parking a car there who was in one of the offices. And I said, you can't park here. There's a disabled parking for clients coming in. And, well, I've parked here for the last 20 years. I said, you know, you don't understand. That would be like me coming to your house and parking in your garden. Yeah. I've parked here 20 years. She kept saying it over and over. I said, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, it's not your land. It's our building and blah, blah,
That's
blah.
It.
And it just
That's
wasn't
it.
Computing at all. It's like you're talking to, I don't know. Yeah. It's
an automatron.
Yeah, Chris, you're right. It's like you're talking to a screensaver.
Uh-huh, a screensaver. Yeah, I agree. That's what's going on in the automatic. But if you have an inner life, you know, the rays of hope are many, the inner life, but without an inner life. Now, what do I mean by an inner life? Well, it depends on you, what you need for your inner life. I'm not talking about meditating every morning. I'm not talking about a certain practice. I'm talking about that ability to, like we were talking about, figuring out what these symbols are saying to us. Bringing the spiritual back up into the intellectual, and our observation, discernment in our observation. These are all products of an active inner life. For me, my entire life is a myth. I am living a myth, and I am, if I were to give myself a primary role, I'm not always in that role, but it is a primary one. I'm a warrior. I love to watch movies like Braveheart and Gladiator, where they're fighting. I know that
Fighting the
realm.
bad guys.
Know that realm so well. And yet I'm a female, right? I'm not supposed to be in that, but I am a warrior, and I'm a warrior for truth. And
A
that's, of
spiritual
course,
warrior.
what I'm known for is the risk that I take. And I have been attacked with electromagnetic weapons a few times. The risk that I take is worth it, because I'll only be here as long as God wants me here. I know that. I'm not in charge of my death. So I am in charge of the quality of my life, however, and I will use that to the best of my ability for the vision I have in my mythos of how this life is run. Nothing is pedestrian. Nothing is not worth anything. If I were taking drugs and eating a lot of sugar and drinking alcohol and things like that, then I would lose my way, you see, and I'd lose the path that is set for me. And that, of course, is everything to fulfill what I came to do. And I want more people to remember that part of their existence, because I do not believe there is one single soul on this earth who didn't have that mission in a way in coming here. You don't incarnate just for fun. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of pain. You come to do something, and you must hold to that and not allow all the stuff around you to distract you from living for the thing that makes you particularly unique as a human being. And I find it to be extraordinarily fulfilling. Do I want a big career or to be in headlines? No. I the quality is what I'm following, not the quantity.
Sorry, Crystal. When you pointed out earlier, Alana, that you said that the Trump chat was like a ritual. That's part of it as well, isn't it? Because once you see this stuff, like you said
Cannot
about
see it, can you?
symbols and rituals, you can't not see it. So you see these things, and obviously, to someone who's not interested, you sound like a lunatic. But who cares? Just carry on. It
Oh,
doesn't
yeah,
make any difference, does
carry
it?
on.
But you do. Everything's become a ritual, hasn't it? Every time you see these clans on TV, it almost seems ritualistic these days.
Well, they were the ones here, and the ones you have are I mean, the British elite are known for being secret society people and bloodlines. So, what amazes me is that the Brits have put up with this for so long. But on the other hand, well, what am I saying? We're run by the same ilk here.
I'm gonna say we just took it over there, didn't we? We took it to America,
Oh,
almost
yes.
started from scratch again.
Well, and that seems to be one of the big things that's being worked out by humanity, doesn't it? That's a big thing. And if we're going to be free, well, that has to be worked out. We can't be run by practicing
Psychopaths.
statements and elites that take our children and do terrible things to them. We can't allow that, and yet we do allow it. And so when I say we got millions of people now, some of us are quite awake, most of us aren't. That's a job in itself, to keep reincarnating, which I've been here many times. Reincarnating, coming back to work here when, and I remember in the 60s, you always heard about people's reincarnations and that sort of thing, and, to make yourself sound important, I guess. But and some of the people that were
Everyone's
talking
been
about it, yeah,
Cleopatra,
and some of the people that seemed that they didn't, it wasn't so much about, we were young. It wasn't so much about what you could do for humanity. It was more about, if you could be Cleopatra or
aren't
something really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
But for me, the thought that I can be here in the trenches on the earth and be here now in this era. I just feel like I've died and gone to heaven. I mean, this is the best for a warrior, for a spiritual warrior. This
Do you
is
know?
it.
Are you aware of the funeral director over here, George Olu? Is it George Luna?
George Luna.
George
yeah,
Luna.
Yeah.
I heard
He's
him on an interview.
Over here.
I heard him on an interview a while ago, and you can tell he's got a little bit of bubbling anger in him. But it was so funny. He says, "You know what? I want to fight these bastards, and when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to come straight back and fight the bastards again."
Right. I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be with him.
I thought it was a brilliant line. That
I'll come back on the same plane.
So I'm going to come straight back and fight the bastards again.
Yeah,
these people are evil. It really went on a roll.
I was 8 years old when I remembered, or I think I was 8 or 9 when I remembered my a reincarnation. But I didn't know it was a reincarnation, and I certainly didn't know that most people don't have those kinds of experiences. I happened to read Plato's Allegory of the Cave in a library of my fifth grade elementary school. And I was alone in the library. My teacher, I was a bit of a prodigy when I was a kid, so she knew how bored I was in class, and she let me go and revise the library card system. And I loved it. You know, I mean, I was that kind of kid. I was very shy, introverted, and loved big systems like the Dewey Decimal System to get the library going. So I was working on that, and I chanced to see this book open, and the book was Plato's Allegory of the Cave. And I looked at it, and I read it, and I immediately had the sense that I had known this man who wrote the story. And then I, you know, no big deal. I didn't think about it for years. And then when I was around 17 and in college, I suddenly remembered that I had said that. And I went and read the Allegory of the Cave again. And then I began to remember who I had been. And then that was confirmed 20 years later, maybe 20 more years, by someone who has that kind of skill to be able to see into the Akashic record, as it's known, or to see your past lives and that sort of thing. Nothing that I committed to. It was just a friend. And he confirmed it, that I had been right. Well, that came when I was a very young child.
Who were and you then, Elena? That's a question we want to know.
Well, Socrates. And it was a long time before I understood. Well, I certainly never talked about it. I'm very open now because I don't know quite, you know, how long I'll be here. When you get to this age, you think, I better start opening up about a few things. that I've carried, you know, close to my chest. But yes, Socrates. And over the time since then, I see why I remembered. I haven't remembered anything else of substance, only that. And I see that I'm now a student of Rudolf Steiner. Well, Steiner was Aristotle. Was I drawn to Steiner because of his thought forms, because of who he had been long, long ago, a student of my student, Plato? Yeah, I think so. I think that's how that stuff works. I mean, I'm not going to write a book on it or you know, defend it in a court of law or anything, but it has helped me.
But these things have some intrinsic resonance, don't they? A feeling that means it. And I have one about a African, like a hunter. It keeps coming to me and saying everything's going to be all right. It's a strange feeling. I don't know what it is. I haven't a clue what
Well,
it is.
And it's from another level of reality. That's what I'm getting at is that, you know, we have these masters of the universe here who in grad school or in college or in grade school, they have this they want us taught this, but not this. So we're all in this sort of fenced in area. And then when you begin to wake up, you move out of the fencing and you begin to develop the spirit. Now in your life, you may be a janitor in
it's
a college.
Irrelevant, isn't it? Yeah.
That's just how you're making your bread and butter, which is part of being human, is to take care of yourself, learn to take care of yourself. But the spiritual side is super valuable, And has to do with your next life, not just your past lives, but with your next life. And you need to attend to it. You need to feed it and not allow public opinion and, you know, and whatever the latest programming is that people are being subjected to, and really claim that spiritual side. Because just think of all the very bright people here who are just almost destroyed in grad school. That's why I opted to not get a PhD, because I knew it was just more programming.
Yeah. And imagine being one of those doctors that were that have got a surgery with local people in it that were handing out these jabs in 2020, and seeing one after another.
Same thing.
Dropping.
Yes, I really
imagine
felt
being that doctor.
So this is all a spectrum, right? The past lives, the future lives. Here I am now. Am I feeding my spiritual side, which has to do with the future and the past? Am I feeding it, or am I getting distracted? Am I feeding just my appetites, my desires, my pleasure, whatever? You know, all of that seems so irrelevant to me. Just has for years.
And look at the effort that the controllers put into trying to silence people, ridicule and ostracize, and push out into the sort of weeds. Anybody who dare speak out about the system or look into the background.
So you can see that one of the major things that we need to bring to people is about their programming. And that, to me, has to do with HAARP. I mean, you know, when I say that I write books on geoengineering, it's true that I'm trying to explain the system to people. That's true in the first three books. But now I'm shifting to look at all the things that this is about. And mind control is definitely one of them. Not just mind control, behavior control, feeling control, emotional control. All of these things are frequencies. And the frequencies are being used to control humanity. So now we need to really grasp this. And, you know, the people that try to tell me, well, I never liked science in high school even. Well, I don't really care if you like it.
Neither did I. But I've ended up opening a bloody clinic. But just,
exactly.
These eugenics, these operations that they're running, do you think the end goal is for, talking about Dracula living hundreds of years, do you think the end goal is for these people who possibly can't escape this realm for some reason, they keep bouncing back as the same type of entities? Do you think it's for longevity? Do you think they're searching for that forever?
Well, the elite life? Definitely want longevity, but they want it on their terms. So that goes without saying. But if I were to say what they want here, they want to be able to create a different human being.
Right.
That's the number one thing, because then they can thumb their nose at God. And you know, and God, what is God? Is that somebody, the clockmaker idea who's far, far away? No. God is all over the place. I mean, you know, I don't quite know how they think they can do that, but they would be satisfied with just being able to tell everyone what to do. And
I suppose as well, the secret societies obviously have knowledge that we don't know. We're working behind in front of the curtain, they're behind it. So whatever they're doing, thumbing the nose to God or the creators or whatever created us, they know this information, don't they? Some of it, yeah.
Absolutely know it. And that's why they want us to fear the occult and make fun of it and not believe it, that it's true. They don't want us in that domain because they know. You know, that's the problem. I've been on Christian shows, a few. Most Christians avoid me. Because
this
I
one doesn't,
Christian.
Yeah. This one doesn't.
I don't.
He's called Christian.
I think you're all right.
But the irony is, I am a Christian. I had a tremendous experience of Christ when I was 25 years old in a college classroom, nonetheless.
I think I remember you telling us last time.
Yeah,
he told us the story. Yeah.
Full on vision, everything, and then weeks of dreams of the early Christian times. I mean, and some guy writing in a golden book over my shoulder with energy pouring out of his finger and explaining everything to me that I then couldn't remember when I woke up. So I am a Christian, but I'm a different kind of Christian. I'm not a church Christian. I'm not a coffee hour Christian, I call it. I very much feel every day is Sunday and everywhere is church. I mean, this is a spiritual venture to incarnate and live a high principled life. Not to be Christ. I don't want to be Christ. I just want a Christ-filled life
I
because
think
we.
everybody knows what moral, what good morals are, not doing harm to
Yeah.
people,
And
etc., etc. But that's been taken away, hasn't it? That's another thing that's been taken away because it's been watered down. That not doing
well, and
harm to people unless they harm you, and
you're
whatever that harm
constantly
is.
filled with fear. You're
Yes.
constantly injected with fear.
Yeah.
So, then you get into the survival thing. And so all of that is wonderful. And I would just like for people, they don't have to have an inner life like mine, but that they have some way of replenishing their forces from being the other half of themselves that they've been taught not to be in this life in the West. The East has a different problem. It may be, they may be more spiritual. I don't know. I don't live in the East, but I am in the West, and I know that they're mired in materialism and that, they have all sorts of conditioning and programming and you mentioned earlier that, you may get stuck here. Well, I think that's one of the things they're doing too is certainly in the jab, it happened. I mean, what happened to all those people? Okay, so some of them died, quite a few of them died actually, and quite a few of them are
Still are.
now disabled. And so a lot happened to people. When you begin to look at all the different things that happen, all the wars and how war is the perfect time to grab up thousands of children and go and put them on the human trafficking and sell them to the highest pedophile or Satanist ritual buyer. So yeah, a lot happens, and what they want is for people to become so aimless and so lost and so not in touch with the divine that they end up, when they die, they don't go to all the places that I certainly will be going. They will get stuck. And there was a book that came out recently by an anthroposophist, a Steiner person, where he talks about that because he's clairvoyant and he's working with about 50 people who are clairvoyant. I don't think I mentioned it last time. It's a book about people who got the COVID shots, then died, and get on the other side of the threshold on this into this other dimension where we continue and we face what we've done in our lives, and a lot of things happen there before we move on to higher planes of existence and have fantastic, I don't know, my picture is lots of really good conversations with really wise people. Yeah. But that these people get stuck there and they can't move forward, they can't move back. They're paralyzed. They're absolutely paralyzed. Their soul forces are paralyzed. They don't have bodies anymore, but their soul forces are paralyzed. And
Body snatches, yeah.
it's like body snatching, yeah. And so this guy who wrote the book, Thomas Mayer, a German anthroposophist, he said that then these clairvoyant people that are all in touch by the internet, by the way, because they're all over the world, they get together on the internet and they put someone's name forward, and then they all make a picture of that person in their mind. And then they go in to try to help move that person, try to help them. And that's this idea that the occultists involved in this destruction of Homo sapiens and the bringing on of a transhuman, that that they might be committed to changing death. I mean, why not? Changing
Not just
incarnation.
changing life, changing death.
Change the whole thing. You know, instead of putting up with all these humans, just done. And the fact that I ran into that book and was able to talk with Thomas, yeah, I think that that makes sense to me, because when people talked about how they're trying to you know, depopulate totally, I said it doesn't make any sense, because there's reincarnation. These people will be back, and the occultists certainly know that. So, wow, here they are. Do they have black magician scientists working at Pfizer and AstraZeneca and all those places who know how to control the soul once it leaves this dimension? Well, then I come across evidence that they know how to take the astral body out of people and put it in clones.
To that,
Do you know what? Sorry, Chris, I've got a word written down here. It said clones.
Yeah.
I've got a word written down here, clones.
But that
But
gives
anyway.
it all different angle to the depopulation story,
Yes,
doesn't
it
it?
does, doesn't it? I'll
Total
come up with another
depopulation.
one there. Conscious cryogenics. Yeah, consciousness cryogenics.
Sorry, Elena, what was that book called again? Thomas Mayer.
Yeah, the book,
Someone will ask.
Yeah, me and Chris read quite a lot as well. We've got little libraries, haven't we,
Yeah,
Chris?
well, I've got
Big libraries.
boxes full of.
Can I just run and get it? Because you can cut this part out, right?
Yeah,
Because you're
it's all right. We can talk. I can chat to this knobhead for a bit.
another room.
She didn't catch that.
That is an interesting
Well, whatever it,
theory.
yeah,
Fucking
theory,
hell.
perception, conception.
I actually said that on our podcast. Not the same theory, but maybe they have to get rid of a massive chunk at a time that will then stop the refilling of the plane, if you like, or of the world. Do you know what I mean? And that would be like a satanic circle wank, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To
Well,
get rid of
you've said in the past that this is like a closed
system. Yeah,
system.
I think there's the imagine if the same amount of souls have existed on the earth all the time, and
Yes.
all the population stuff is just bollocks.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. COVID vaccines from a spiritual perspective.
Oh, that looks really interesting.
Yeah, it does look really interesting, does that?
By Thomas Mayer, and the second line is consequences for the soul and spirit and for life after death. So the
Might
first
be
half
an
of the book
interesting
is how it
guest.
works.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, oh, and he would be willing to come on. Okay, so here's a picture. This gives you an idea of what we're talking about here. Okay, so the soul, which often people think of as a cloud of smoke, you know, they don't think it has an actual structure. It kind of looks like, in this case, he's got a couple of diagrams. Here's a soul that is intact. That's kind of what it looks like. And I won't explain the different parts, but there are several parts. And this is the what happens. Oh, and then this is another angle on it. This is a together soul.
So just to explain, because it's not visual, looks like a human man with lots of like circles,
Yeah, with circles,
ellipses
with
around him.
various circles around it. And then here's the impact of the corona vaccine, it's called. And it's all crazy. All the circles are all over the place.
Right, so they've kind of moved away from him, haven't they, at that point?
Yes. And he has lost his balance. And that's what health is balance, as I said. Chinese medicine 5,000 years ago
Yeah.
knew that. Maybe they
Dis-ease,
did
dis-ease.
all this. Yeah. So it's and then he's got pictures of the demonic element, the demonic beings who are involved in this. And it's really interesting. He says that the different demonic beings, they come from the vaccine.
Oh, God.
This one looks sort of like an evil mermaid
Yeah, I was thinking that,
with weird front paws or something.
Certainly a
So
prawn you wouldn't want to eat. It looks
anyway,
like,
this is it's really great. I've read it probably 3 times.
Oh, I'll have a look at that then.
Fantastic. Might even try contacting Thomas, see if he wants to come on for an
Yeah.
hour. and talk about his book. Interesting conversation, that, I'm sure.
Yeah, he'll have an he may have an interpreter, but his English is pretty good.
Right. Yeah.
Can't be any worse than ours.
Can't be any worse than ours. Yeah. We're all Englishmen that have got a rubbish English accent. But anyway, we'll call that a day for this one. I think, Elana, we've been an hour 40 or something like that already. Yeah, before we all start losing the plot.
We lost the plot a few times.
Yeah, I think we did.
It's all sort of the same plot. I mean, yeah. That's the way it really is, you know. Yeah. No, I love being with you guys. It's great.
And we're glad you like coming on. And hopefully, when you get your next book out, we will get you back on again sometime in the autumn, as we say over here, and fall, as you say over there.
Yeah, 2026.
2026, right. Well, I might contact you before then anyway, because we're into the winter, yeah. Okay,
all right,
then.
Well, you're doing great work, and take care of yourselves, okay? Watch
you too, Elena. Yeah. Love to see you again.
All right. Cheerio.
See you later. Yeah. Bye. Take it easy. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that. We said bye to Elana there. I really enjoyed that chat, Chris.
Yeah, me too. It's really good.
Yeah, it's always good talking to Elana. We'll try and get all the Thomas Mayer. So anyway, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next week. If you're not joining us for part two,
bye. Bye.
I was young before my